Re'ei, Tav Shinayim Tes. So it says here.
Midrash.
No, here for the Pesukim. Bani Matem Lashem Elokeichem. Los is Godadu, Los Asimu Korcha Beninechem Lameis. Your children to Hashem, your God. Los is Godadu, right? Gedida is cut out, tear out. No, what do you call it? To Gedida. And don't create a bald patch, Beni Nechem, between your eyes, Lameis, because of the death of a loved one. Right? In other words, not what you call, not to tear out one's hair. Right? You call it to us to tear out one's hair in reaction to the passing of a loved one. Ki am kodosh ata, for you are a holy nation, la Hashem Elokecha. Right? Uvachal bachar Hashem, and Hashem has chosen you, lios ola am segula, to be an am segula. Mikol amim, amongst all the nations, asher al pnei adama, that are upon the face of the earth. So Rashi says, it's a funny thing, because I still remember, when my father passed away, I remember my first reaction was, my hand went to my head. It's right over here. I had to keep myself from tearing my hair out. So that was the first place where my hand, it was a funny thing, I remember. It's interesting.
That is interesting.
Yeah. It says, so Rashi says, "Sitnu gedida v'seret b'v'sarchem." Right? Don't have a scratch, right? In your b'sarchem ameis, don't cut yourself because of the death.
This is Rashi.
Keder shal morim osim, like the Amorites would do. Vishatem bonav shal makom, because you are the children of the Borei Olam. Atem ruim lios naim v'lo gedudim umekurachim. You should look, record, appropriate, pleasant, right? Not all cut up, right? Not all with your hair torn out to make yourself bald as tearing your hair out. Beinei nechem, right? What does it say? It says, "Los is go to do." V'lo sasim korcha beinei nechem, between your eyes. Rashi says, "Beinei nechem etzel hapadachas, by the forehead."
Oh,
sorry, quads. Right between, right?
Pillars?
Yeah.
On
well, I don't know. Padachas is the forehead. It's over here, right? It's over here, right? Don't have a lot of hair there, unless we're talking about it by your eyebrows, right?
What's the difference between Pesachas and
Metzach. I don't know. It's a good question. Is there a difference?
Forehead and the what?
Pesachas and Metzach. No. Chor, what do you call it? They're the same. Have to see. The differences. Mokom Acher Omer, Lo Yikrechu Korcho Berosham, Lasos Kol Arosh Kebein Einayim. Right? And they would record in the pasuk in Emor, it talks about the Kohanim. The special Easter by the Kohanim not to do this. So it says there. It says lo yikruchu korcha berosham. Here it says beini nechem, simu korcha beini, between your eyes. And there it says rosham, lasos kol harosh kebeini naim. Right, to make what he calls the din is that what he calls all the rosh. In other words, you can't tear your hair out from any part of what he called your head. It's interesting. So just write what we call the Rosh. And there's why write Einayim, between Einayim, right? And then afterwards write Rosh and tell me, well, guess what? Really includes all the Rosh. Don't write between Einayim. So that's the first question. If the entire head is included in the Easter, why refer to it in our parsha as Ben Einechem? There's why in at all refer to it as between your eyes? Again, there's not that much hair there, really. I guess you can, I don't know. And some of you record that's actually if your eyebrows are attached, it's what do you call it, the shayla of a mum, right? Yeah, by Kohen. If what do you call it, if there's hair all the way across, so what are we talking about?
Benayim is not part of your rosh.
Yes, but here maybe in the end it says what do you call it, the whole rosh is included. So just tell me the rosh, and I know everything in the head. Okay, so that's what we call that's the pasuk of shat and the pasuk according to Rashi, right? And Rashi says the reason why you shouldn't do it is because we're the children of the Rabbonu Shalom, and we shouldn't look disgusting. We shouldn't look all ripped up, what do you call it, torn apart, cut up. Maybe we should look mechubad. We're the children of the Rabbonu Shalom. There's also a drash on the pasuk, And the drash, right, at first glance, doesn't appear to be totally out of left field in terms of the pshat of the pasuk. It says karinen bay los is godu losasu agudos agudos. You're not allowed to create factionalization in what way? In other words, to have machlokas. If, for instance, in one town, there's one bezdin, what do you call it, wants to paskin like Beis Shammai, and another bezdin wants to paskin like Beis Hillel, it's usur. You shouldn't have it. You shouldn't have something like that, where you've got one, what do you call it, they should get together, and what do you call it, you go bust a rove, and that's it, period. Not that one group says, okay, like Beis Shammai, the other group says, Beis Hillel.
That's the
paskin
in this?
That's what that's right. And los is go to do. Again, what do you call los is go to do? On this same pasuk.
What does that mean? Don't tear out your hair.
So the pashup shah is gedida, is what he called is tearing out your hair, is cutting it out, ripping it out. What he called the drash is learning miloshon aguda, which is a bunch. Don't make separate bunches. Don't make separate factions.
Is it from aguda or from a gedud?
Gedud? It says agudos, agudos. I don't know. Could be
good.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, it's really called. It could be. It's, you know, they're related anyway. Amar Abaye ki amrin los is goredu kigon shtei batei dinim bi'er achas halalu morim kedivrei Beis Shammai v'halalu morim kedivrei Beis Hillel. So you're not allowed to have that. You're not allowed to have factionalization, right? In one city, psak halacha coming up to do batei dinim, one like Beis Shammai, one like Beis Hillel. So now the next question is there a connection between the pshat and the drash? The first question is if in fact the whole head is in the ether, so why write the head, then write the eyes, and say, and guess what? That tells me what he calls, there's written one place by the head, so what he calls, everything is included. Just write the head, right? I understand we need the pasuk written both by Kohanim and by us, that we'll see in just a second, the Ramban talks about that, but why use the terminology between the eyes, if in fact it really is the whole head is within the ether? The second thing is there some sort of relationship between the, what do you call it, the pshat, right, in the pasuk, and the drash, which talks about factionalization. So now, in terms of the more explanations for the Easter,
that's like going back to Yiskud, that's like machlokas,
right? Machlokas and psak, because you have machlokas and pesach, you have all the time. But the question is, once you have a psak halachas, you should have it one town, those passing like Beis Shammai, those passing like Beis Hillel. So says Ramban. He says, "On bonim atem l'shem elokeichem."
That's what happened, though. Whether it was Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel.
It's true. What do you call it? They disagree, but they should come. They should come together, right? In other words, they should come together in one town, and you can't have one group saying like Beis Shammai, one group saying like Beis Hillel, right? So Ramban says, "Bonim atem l'shem elokeichem." Comes from mitzvah v'eres, right? He says it appeared previously in the Sefer Torah. That's the idea bechlal, that everything in Devarim has some sort of shoresh, has some sort of root earlier in the Chumash, in the first four books of the Torah. He says, Shomer b'tog b'kohanim, with regard to the Kohanim, lo yikuchu korcha b'roshom, v'visorom lo yisru tu saratis. A pasuk and error, memoir, like we saw already. Valdas raboseinu, v'shneim einu el alames. Chazal teaches that we call the Easter, ripping out one's hair, you're only over that Easter if it's because, what we call it, as a sign of mourning, a sign of loss.
Where's that
another
part of the Torah?
Because here it says, and in Vayikra, right, also what he called, he tells us, Chazal teaches that it's only with regard to a mace, what he called, because of a mace. V'itachin sh'haisa mitzvah rishona b'kohanim, lomar sh'im haya koin mekurach megudad in a royal avoda, right? Why mention it first with regard to Kohanim? And then mention it again with regard to all Jews. And in Parshas Emor, it's in the context of speaking to the Kohanim, especially serving the Kohanim. And here we tell you that he says it's shach to all of Klal Yisrael. He says it could be that the reason why it's mentioned specifically with regard to the Kohanim is because with regard to the Kohanim, not only is it us to do, but also if he has done this to himself, he has now made himself pasal avoda, I guess, until his hair grows back. As with this, what do you call, with the hair having been ripped out as a result of mourning, what do you call it, and then his avoda is psula.
If he's had chasar and he's higher makos.
If what?
Yeah, Adam and chasar, and then he's
Hasra. Right, so you have makos. The question is what he calls, so they gave him the makos, but now he's still got a part ripped out of his hair. Can he do the avoda? So Ramban says, by the additional thing by the coin is he can't do the avoda until his hair grows back, I guess.
What about the aver?
It's also the aver.
Does he have to bring a chatas?
No, it's not. It's not a chayv. It's not a chayv kores. It's a chayv kores. It's just a law. Kosh omelu chalu l'shem elokeihem. Okay. V'nei avodasim v'chulales. V'kan bir ki mitzvah gam liyisrael. V'hu tzuch l'shtein. We need both. Fine. Now it gets into what exactly is the core of the issue with regard to the Iser. So Rashi said that the reason why we don't do it is because we have to appear as like the children of Hashem and not look disgusting, and therefore that's the source of the Iser. The Rebbe Avram, Amar, and even Ezra said, Acha shetedu shatem banim l'Hashem, v'oeveshem yosim min ha'av l'beno. After you know that you are children of Hashem, and that He loves you more than a father loves his own son, right? Hashem loves us more than that. Loses go to al mashia ase. Don't, as it were, rip out your hair because of an event that took place. In other words, the loss of what it called of a loved one.
Why?
Kiko mashia ase latov, because everything that Hashem does is latov, right? Mm-hmm. Right. Ve'im lo tavineu kasher lo yavinu habonim haktanim ma'ase aviem rak yak yismichu alav. Right? It's an interesting thing here. You know, the idea of Bonim Atem Lashem Lokechem teaches us two things. First of all, we're like children to Hashem. And just like a father, does the best for his child, right? Hashem loves us more than any father loves his child. He wants to do the best for us. And in addition, the idea of Bonim is that the Ben doesn't always understand why the father is doing this, why this is good for him, right? He doesn't understand why this is good for him. But the father understands. So Ben is forced to rely upon the father's judgment even though he doesn't understand, because he knows his father loves him so much that he wouldn't do anything that was bad for him.
Yeah, well, we can feel bad. We're just expressing our grief in that moment.
Agreed. We'll see. We talked about that.
That's Avram. Who? Avram?
The Ibn Ezra. Right? So just as a child doesn't always understand what his father is doing, so too also, we don't understand, right? In other words, why? Like, why? Don't understand. We rely upon him. He's our father. And we know he loves us more than any father has ever loved his son. Why you rely upon him? Why? Because you're an Am Kodosh. If you're not Kodosh, you don't have the ability to rely upon Hashem. Well, that doesn't make any sense to me. I'm out of here. Right?
Okay, so what does that mean? If a person is not,
if a person is willing to rely upon God, and it's like we've always talked about, like the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, says at the end of days, you know, the nations of the world, you know, right, the nations of the world say, how come we don't get reward like the Jews? And when they say, because you didn't do any Torah mitzvah, oh my God, blah 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 blah, they say, fine, I'll give you a mitzvah to do. And what do they do? He gives a mitzvah of sukkah. And then Hashem takes the sun out of its, what he called, of its sheath, and it's boiling hot. You can't take the sukkah. They walk out of the sukkah and they kick the sukkah. Right? Mm-hmm. They kick the sukkah. So everybody asks, what do you want? They're putter from sukkah. It's true they're putter from sukkah. Right? But the idea is that what he called, you're putter from sukkah, but you leave in humility. Like, why? Hashem is the one who made the sun so blazing hot. It's like, well, why is he doing that? I don't know. But I know I can't do the mitzvah now. And you leave in humility. It's the opposite of what the Mishnah says in Sukkah, when it rains and forces a Jew out of the Sukkah. He can't be, he's considered an ignoramus if he stays in the Sukkah when he's under conditions that he wouldn't have stayed in the house for. Right? When it's pouring rain into the Sukkah, if you're staying there, you're considered a hedgeot. You're considered a simpleton. You don't understand the law. You're not supposed to stay here now. You're not being kind of mitzvah now. But when the Jew leaves, right, he leaves like a servant who realizes that his master is not interested in his service. And he leaves in humility. Right? He feels that there must be something wrong with me. Right? I don't know why he doesn't want my service, but there must be something wrong with me. There's never anything wrong with him. Right? And the guy, what do you call it, at the end of days, when they leave the sukkah, they kick it.
So what, connect that again? So
the same thing goes over here. What do you call it? Because we're willing to live, right? Right? We shouldn't be tested, but we're willing to live with the, what do you call it, with this attitude, with this approach, that what he called that Hashem loves us more than any father could love his son. And even when things happen that are bitter for us, right, we're bitter for us, but we know it has to be for the good, and even though we don't understand it, we rely upon him. We rely upon him, we trust him. We don't say, hey, I know better, right, I'm out of here, right? We say, I trust him. It's not happy, it's very bitter, it's very difficult, I don't know what he wants from me, right? But I trust him. So that's what Ibn Ezra says.
Bitter and better, almost the same word.
That's interesting. Right. Thank you. Thank you, Ogden. So we have two pirushim so far. We've got Rashi, right? Don't bash yourself up as a result of the death of a loved one. Why? Because you need to look like honorable, the child, the children of what he called of the Creator. You got the Ibn Ezra, right? Ibn Ezra says, "Bani matem Hashem lekechem." Don't bash yourself up, right? As a result of a loss in the misery. And the sadness because loss of what he called of a loved one. Why? Because you have to know that Hashem loves you more than anybody else, right? And that He'll only do the good by you. And even if you don't understand, we have to rely upon Him. We have to trust Him. Then what he called? Then
I guess you should say
what.
Take out, are you being grieving? Yeah, take out a grieving, and we can feel grieved and battered, but you just take it out.
Okay, we said we're going to get to that. Well, fi daiti, kitam am kodosh, right? And it'll take a while to get to it, but we're going to get to what you just said. Well, fi daiti, kitam am kodosh, avtocha bikum anafashos, lefonov yizborach. So you see the pasuk, right? What does it say? It says, don't rip out your hair, right? Because of a mace. Ki am kodosh ata, for your holy nation, says what he called, says Ramban, lefidaiti, ki tam am kodosh haftocho bekiyum hanefoshos lefonav yizborach. There's the idea of saying you're am kodosh, not like Rashi, who says you're am kodosh, you have to look, right? You have to look like what he called, like the children of Hashem. But am kodosh is meant to remind you, you're eternal. Even though the person has passed away, right? But he's not; he doesn't disappear. He's just in a different place. But he's eternal. We're an eternal people. Am kodesh avtocha b'kiyum anafoshos lefonav yizborach. That the souls always continue to exist.
That's comfortable. Comforting.
Right. That's comforting because it's not the person that we call is gone. Yomer achrei sha'ata am kodesh uskulas Hashem lo yisrael lekim nefesh v'choshav machshavos levilti yidach menu yidach. Hashem is always concerned and searching for a way to make sure that the person, once he shuffles off the mortal coil, but that his soul should remain eternally attached. Even if someone passed away in his youth, right? It's not appropriate to tear one's hair out. Why? Because the person is eternal. He's not what he called. He's not gone forever. He's not disappeared. He's not in our presence. But he's eternally there, if we call attached to their bone shalom. Lo yesar kosav a velo yesar kosav a bechi. The Torah doesn't ask for crying, right? Ki atevi yisor livkos, because the nature is what he called that a person should cry. The pured al avi v'nidudam. From the other side of the pargo, right? So he called it because even when you take leave of somebody, you're not going to see them for a while. Right? People cry, right? People cry. The pira oavim v'nidudam af v'chayim umikan samach rabbeinam ba'osram lisabel al nefesh yosimidai. He says that when he called, he says it's understandable that a person cries. Because even though the person is still here, but you're not going to see them for a long time, right? So the person cries. So tears are okay, right? Tearing one's hairs out. In other words, everything has to be within in a shear, right? In a measured amount. Tears is understandable, right? But tearing one's hair out is recorded incorrect. Because tearing one's hair out, at least in terms of the severity of it, appears to show that you don't recognize that the person is still here. In other words, the person has been torn off. He's gone. He's not gone. He's just not in our presence. Tears appropriate. Tearing out the hair is inappropriate. He says, if you hear from here, Chazal say that a person shouldn't be misabil yosemidai. Right? that after a certain amount, a person shouldn't, would call it, shouldn't grieve, openly grieve. Binabache, right, a Talmud of the Ramban, he says similarly, Uminagai memorim haya lefisha haya osim in ha'olam hazeh ikar. He adds a new point over here. Why did they tear their hair out? Because in their worldview,
is it Rabbakia?
This is the Rabbeinu Bachya, yeah, right? What he calls in their worldview, Olam Hazeh is the Iker. So once the person is gone from Olam Hazeh, that's it.
So that's like similar to Ramban.
Right. But he just speaks to that a little bit more. You know, the Ramban spoke about you should remember that the person is eternal because his nefesh is eternally attached to Hashem. The Rabbeinu Bachya says, why did the Goyim tear their hair? Because to them, the most important thing was Olam Hazeh. So once you've left Olam Hazeh, that's it. The Kasher Yamuslam Meis V'Yeva Mibeneim Hinehu Avudol Olam or Avudol Olam. Aval Atem Einchem Kain Ki Bonim Atem LaHashem Elokeichem. Right. And the derech of the Av is to give over to his son something good. The Fichach Olam Abba Shebarasi Umiutad Lachem. You are coming to Olam Abba. They're focused on Olam Hazeh. Since Olam Hazeh is over for this person, they tear their hair out. Right? So therefore, a person is not allowed to what he called to tear his hair out because it's to show that he's batuach, that just because the goof, right, that if the goof right now is no longer with us, but the chay olam haba is still what he called as the ikar, is the most important thing. Fine. So that's the second approach, right? So we had an approach of what he called of the we had Rashi and the Ibn Ezra in the middle. The Ibn Ezra who said what he called that you have to place your trust in Hashem. But okay, that's a similar idea. Okay. No, I'm just saying the idea that to know that one is a son to what he called Hashem, and therefore what he called know that everything is for the best. What he called the Ramban talks about in terms of Olam Haba. Okay, I guess there's not really a disagreement there. The Sforno says a different approach. He says, "Banim atem l'shem lokeichem she'ein roy laharos tachlis hadago batzar ala korav ameis kishanisha korav v'nechba imenu." Here it's talking in terms of ourselves, a sense of loss.
So why is it that Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel couldn't be appeased only by somebody else that? Many people try to appease him, you know, he couldn't be appeased. Like all this time, he said that one person who said something. So here, what do you say? These methods aren't appeasement?
We'll see.
Okay.
We'll see. I guess we'll talk more about the Bechi aspect. Right? The Bechi aspect.
Right, good enough.
Right. Because Bechi is acceptable. Right? In other words, mourning is not acceptable, it's commendable.
Anyway, someone just lost a loved one, you're going to say, don't feel bad.
We just saw you. We just said that. You don't say that. You don't say that. Because you cry. Crying is what you call it is permissible. Crying is understandable. Crying is commendable. Just tearing the hair out. Tearing the hair out. So at first glance, it's what you call it, it's just a matter of gradation. It would appear as just a matter of gradation, which is totally understandable. In other words, grieving is what you call it, is in place. Grieving is understandable. Grieving is reasonable. Grieving is what should be done, right? But what we call self mutilation shouldn't be done. The Sforno. The Sforno says. Right, until now we're talking about the loss of the person. Sforno says, from a different angle, it's interesting. She'en roi laharos tachlis adag v'atzar l'alkorov hameis mishanisha korov v'nechmi menu. The idea being that what we call it, that if a person, as it were, allows himself to come to the point of self-mutilation, it's because he feels so incredibly abandoned. Right? In other words, in terms of himself, I have no one left. God forbid. Since it's inappropriate, he's keep bonim atem l'Hashem elokeichem. You're not alone, because Hashem is with you, right? It's a different angle, right? You're not alone. Hashem is with you. And rather than talking about what we call the experience, right, of death, the separation of death,
The person is still here. The person called Jalam Emes. Don't fool us. Only Olam Hazeh, etc., etc., etc. The Sfarno says is focusing on it. Don't allow yourself to mutilate yourself because you feel so incredibly alone. Because you're not alone. Because your father is still here. And Hashem is still here. Right. And then in terms of what he called it, and then in terms, in addition, the gam ain't lit stayer ma'od bishvil nezek amagil emes, and certainly don't feel bad because the loss that person has had. He's gone. Poor him, right? Why? Because he is mizuman l'chay olam haba. He's going to olam haba. See what he called. Don't feel bad for him.
You went for Am Kodesh.
Don't recall your Am Kodesh. Ki Am Kodesh. What he called. The first thing he says is what he called is don't ki Am Kodesh ata v'gam kain ein litzayer meod. Right. Bishvil nezek hamagia lemeis, because the damage. Right. He's gone. He's lost his life. He can never eat a steak again. He'll never be able to dance at a wedding again. He'll never be able to what he called go to the beach again. Ki Am Kodosh ata umezumen l'chayel maba, because he's going to something much better. Olam maba. So the very quote. So the Sfarno says that the focus in the Psukim is twofold. One, on don't feel so incredibly alone that you come to self mutilation. Why? Because you're not alone. Because you're with Hashem. Oh, in terms of the other person up there, he'll never be able to have all the experiences of Olam Hazeh. He'll never be able to travel around the world. He'll never be able to do this. Never be able to do that. Never do the next thing. He's going Olam maba. Ashakoras ruach b'hem yafa mikol chayel mazeh. Right, the sense of tranquility that a person experiences in the olam emes, right, for one moment of it there is greater than all of life's pleasures that have ever been experienced by all the people who have ever walked the face of the earth, right, all put together. Fine. Further. The what do you call it, the Sroar more, let's just see the bold part and then the paragraph after that. He says Lachain Altivku Lames Losis Godu Losisima Korcha Beninechem Chenir Shu Avud. When a person, God forbid, tears out his hair, right, showing like just like the hair has been torn out, this person is gone, right? It's not true. Again, this idea we've seen before, but we're going to see the terminology used, which is very interesting. He's in our midst. And it's not just... He's not
dead
just,
person?
He's still here.
Why do you say that?
Why? Why? Because he says, Ki b'misasim kurim chayim v'holech la'olam ha'nefashos. He is, what do you call it? He is not physically in our midst, but he is in our midst, like we know, right? So same dovos ba'kever. When you say over the words of a chacham, right? Or when a person is mamshich, let's say, what do you call it, after, let's say, a parent passes away, right? His children continue his footsteps in this world, right? Because when they act, when they behave in a fashion that's what do you call it, befitting of a person who, what do you call it, who keeps Torah mitzvos, etc., he does good deeds, he continues the footsteps of the parent in this world. And then he says, he brings what he called from the Zohar. The Chain Chach Amru, the last paragraph here in the Torah Amor. Chach Amru Bezohar, Shezedom leben Melech. What's it comparable to? To the son of a king. Sheshocho Melech lekvar echad legadlo. The king wanted to educate his son. He wanted to be raised. But he didn't want to raise him in the palace. He wanted him to learn what he called the ways of life. He wanted to learn to appreciate things. He wanted to learn to grow, to struggle, to build himself, to build others, etc. So he sent him to a village to be raised there. And once he felt that what he called that the son, etc., had learned sufficiently, he sent a messenger to bring the what he called bring the son back. So now that he'd become a king, he could become a king on his own. But when they come to take him, right, to bring him back to the king, so everybody begins to cry. He's leaving, begins to cry. Pikech echad mehem, hayasham. There was one clever person there in the crowd. V'amalem, shoytim, fools. Lamatem bochim, why are you crying? Ki hu holech l'mloch al kol ha-malchus. He's going to rule over the entire kingdom. Right? V'atem bochim, you're crying? Kach melech zeh ha-kodesh boruch hu sholach adam l'zeh ha-olam l'gadlo b'torah mitzos. Hashem only sent a person here to this world to build him through Torah v'mitzos. Beforehand, right, he was receiving a freebie, Nama de Kisufa, bread of shame. It's all a gift. In the palace, there with the melech, so everything is just a gift. But here, right, after he's toiled in Torah mitzos, he's built himself. He's grown, right? He's really cool. He's become a respectable individual on his own, not just a open mouth waiting to be fed. Because Shegia Zmano lipatim in olam, when it's time to leave the world, bochim is ablan pidasa, everybody cries, which is we understand. Pikech echad haya zeh, the Moshe. Moshe said, Shomer lehem, shotim, lamatem bochim, why are you crying? Losis go to losisim akorcha b'ninecha lameis, ki am kodosh ato l'ashem. V'olich la'otzer choviv shel olaman of shamos. He's going to the great treasure house of all the souls of creation. La'alos b'mal el yona, to rise up higher and higher and higher. He's going to rule over his world. Right? He's going to rule over 310 worlds. Right? Asa kodesh broch l'hanchilikol tzadik v'tzadik shai olamos. 310 worlds. Yesh. L'hanchil shenemar l'hanchil o'ava yesh v'otoseyam amale. So why are we crying? So again, we understand why we're crying. We understand why we're crying.
Yeah, you're crying because he's a jerk.
What?
No, never mind.
Okay. We'll try to ignore that as we can. Okay, so now what do you call it? Now we're going to address, I think, a very interesting thing. Why, if in fact the we said before, if in fact really the Easter is tearing your hair from everywhere, in your head, so why would Bichal mention the eyes? And plus also we talked about the idea of what do you call, how do we understand the differentiation, other than that in gradation it's more severe, right, between crying, which is considered appropriate, and not only appropriate, but praiseworthy, when it can't become the passing of somebody, and tearing out one's hair. So Kliyakas says a very fascinating thing. Los is Goru. Fishu umos mitstarim kedin al davar aved asher holech lo yashuv. Since they're only focused on Olam Hazeh, right? They're only focused on Olam Hazeh, so they mutilate themselves, because it's a tragedy. It's a real tragedy. Because whatever this person had is gone, right? There isn't anything else. Again, no one just disappears, right? No one just disappears. But what we call Olam Haba is not relevant. You can only live in Olam Haba if you lived in Olam Hazeh with an attitude, with an approach, that this is a world that's meant to bring you to the world that's coming. But if you lived, right, in Olam Hazeh, like this is the be-all and end of everything, this is the last stop on the Marrakesh Express. So then, what do you call it? So then, then there's no place to go, right? There's no place to go after. So it's understandable why they ripped their hair out. But you, right? You, the Jewish people, are not like that. Because you are a chosen nation. Some precious, object. Some precious object. A skula, something precious.
So I guess special. Have a good way.
Always is what he called, is meant to go into what he called, into a treasure house. Varak, harev shimsho bolam hazeh, just his son has said in this world, aval ochilhu tumosa bolam anitzki, but he's eating the fruits, right, of his labor in the world to come. Chazal Amru, and now Chazal say, Gemara and Shabbos, Amorid Mos, right, one who sheds tears, Al Adam Kosher, on a person who is a worthy person, does not be the God of Lador. He said, I'm Kosher. Hagodesh Baruch Hu, Sofron, Umeinichon, Beveis Genazav. Oh, that's what he said, right? I just remember when we did this, what he called the Hamorid Mos al Adam Kosher.
Is it a kosher man?
Oh, no, Adam Kosher. Wait one second.
Hard man?
Shh. Wait. Adam Kosher. Adam Kosher.
Repel.
What?
Repel.
Yeah. So he records Rav Neustadt said, right? He says, what does that mean? He was being master of Tauber. So he said, what does it mean in Adam Kosher? Right, Adam Kosher. Right? He says, what's called, what's the difference between a trefa and a non trefa and an animal that's kosher? Right? A trefa can't live a whole year. Kosher means to live a whole year. Right? What do you mean in Adam Kosher? A person who lives through all of life's experiences, right? And he's alive. He doesn't allow it to break his sense of being alive, right? Sense of being alive. As he goes through good times, goes through hard times, he goes through what he called, he's always alive. He's always alive. I think that's what he said, no?
What I remember,
yeah,
is that he said that with kosher, there are no percentages. Like kosher or not kosher.
Uh-huh. I don't know. I remember that because he wanted to point out that Rav Tauber, right, lived under all. He was always alive. Right? He was always alive. In other words, in good times when he had plenty of money, in times when he was in the Holocaust, in times when he lost all his money, he was always alive. He was always alive. He was always what he called, his eyes were always shining. He was always what he called, whatever. But he said it to be an Adam Kosher. In other words, a person. I don't have a kosher, but anyway, the person who's more demos on an Adam kosher, right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu sofran umeinichan beveiz genozav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts them, right? And places them inside his special treasure chest where he hides his precious things. Shneem Arnudi Safarta Ata Sima Dimasi Benotcha Halo Besifrascha. So what do you call it? So what does that pasuk mean? Nudi safarta, my wanderings, you have counted. Right? Sima dim asi benotcha, place my tears in your flask. Halo besifrascha. Indeed, what do you call besifrascha? What you've counted. So vatan says what do you call it? Says the kliyakar. The fisher gaman of fasher same school of otzer. Al kain sham you gamat mos. Just like the souls themselves are precious. So like you said, what do you call it? When the person dies, his soul has gone to the, what do you call it, to the great storehouse of Hashem's treasures, right? So don't think he's gone. The Hefech is now in the great treasure house. He's what do you call it, of Hashem's treasures. So too also the tears that are cried over the loss of such a person also go into the treasure house. What does it mean, Sifrascha, you're counting? So like we learned in the beginning of Sefer Shmos, that Klal Yisrael, they bring the Pasuk, what he called, that we are like the stars. Every star has got a job description. Every star is counted, right, etc. Right? Zemora al chashivosan, ki kol dover choshev yesh lo mispar. The soul, every soul is important. Person can think that they're chopped liver, but every person is unique. Every person's got a different job description. Every person, based upon his nurture and nature, has got a different job description. Every person is like a star. Even the stars from distance look so small to us. The lights of the stars are immense. They're gigantic. Al kain tam al sviras nudo v'simas admos. Right, Benodo, Amar Halo b'sifrascha. What's the lomar? Halo gam hema ba'atzom gam b'sifrascha. Shata motzino machnisim a mitzvah. So too the tears that one cries over the loss of that soul for us, not because we think that he's gone to oblivion. He's not gone to oblivion, and not because we don't believe in Olam Haba, but the effect that he had on us, our being in his presence. That's what we're mourning. We're mourning the loss of what we record, what we gain from being in his presence. Ukamoim yugama demos agnuzim bin isparim. Va'achashenu kirech mikan v'kirech v'yan al kain inochon losum korcha bin einayim lemeis. Right? So your tears are not for want. Right? Because I've lost that person. I no longer have the hashpa of that person. And the tears I cry, the tears are going to for want. No, those tears are precious. Because those tears are a recognition that you realize the goodness of that person, And with the presence of that goodness, in your life and the lives of others, you realize how important it was. That's something precious. That's something eternal. Just like the souls themselves are eternal, your recognition of the uniqueness of that person's presence and what they gave to you and they gave to others, that's also eternal. That's why it says, don't tear, what do you call it, the hair out between your eyes. In other words, Kilo, what do you call it? I'm crying, and it's the end, it's a loss. It's your person reaches to try and tear the hair out, as it were, between his eyes, etc. He says, don't say that. Don't think your tears are wasted. Your tears are a positive statement of recognition of the loftiness of the soul that you no longer have in your presence to be able to be mashpi upon you. The Enokain Elaim Dmos Nisunin Benod Kalmor. The Ishod the Forish Amor Dmos Al Adam Kosher Mistami Mitzair Al Heder Kishorna Maase. Right? Here, when this person was here, they did good deeds. They were an example. I could learn from them, and now they're not here anymore. Arehu Yore. Right? Because it's Yore Maisa Arehu Yore Elokim. Uchsiv Yuras Hashem Yotzoro. I don't know what Kodesh Borku. Ki Ein Osim Osu Kim Bedavar Sheinu Benimtsa. Right? So in other words, what has he said? He taught us over here. He's taught us, right, called that the reason why he uses the idea, don't tear, you recall, don't tear the hair out between your eyes. You ask why I mentioned your eyes, bechalal, who cares about the eyes? It's anywhere in your head. The idea being, what he called is the idea being is because you could think to yourself, I'm lost. The tears, I'm crying, what do you call it? They're shed on the ground, they flow away, and what do you call it? They're finished. There's nothing. He says, no, it's not true. Tears are appropriate. Tearing out one's hair is wrong, because that shows that you believe that there's no future, and the person is lost entirely. They're not. But the tears are a recognition, right, that this person's presence in my life is no longer there, available to me now. And it's that about I'm crying. And that's precious to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just as, what do you call it, just as what do you call it, as the soul of that individual himself, which is eternal. So just like the soul is eternally, right, in the treasure house of Hashem, so too your tears are eternally there in the treasure house of Hashem. Don't mutilate, don't rip out the hair, but the tears are appropriate. That's what the Kliyaka says. And then finally, right, finally, or next to finally, right? The Sfasemis here says, let's just see the bold part over here, right? Ki lachein asa kodesh baruch hu b'chochma einayim b'rosh li'istakel tomid el ha'shoresh. Remember, in one place it says don't tear out the hair between your eyes. In another place it says don't tear out the hair upon your head, because a person has two sets of eyes. He's got a flesh and blood set of eyes in the front of his face, and he has the shorish of his eyes, right? Like we wear our tefillin, by Yilu Totofos, Bein Einechem. We don't wear them between our eyes like the Karaim do. We wear on our head, the place of the sutures, right? The place of the fontanelles and the baby, where the shorish of sight is. Because a person has, as a way, two ways to see the world. Two ways to see the world. He can see the world. He can see the world through eyes that only look at Olam Hazeh. The money here, the pleasure here, the power there, right? The opportunities, the experiences, those are one set of eyes. But the Jew's eyes have to be linked, right? Have to be linked to what we call the shoresh of the eyes, which is in the mind, right? Which is focuses all the way back to the shoresh, to source of all sources, that Hashem is our source, Hashem is our Father. So we don't recall it. In other words, the idea is don't tear one's hair out from between one's eyes, from upon one's head, because if you're thinking with the eyes whose roots are in your head, whose roots tie you back to the Ribbono Shel, then you know this is not oblivion. If you're looking at the world only through the flesh and blood eyes, recall that your side of your nose, and all that's all one sees, Olam Hazeh. So the person can record, can be brought to a sense of a state of desperation and even self mutilation over the loss, right? Such a, but if a person, as it were, struggles, as it were, to see with the eyes, right? The eyes, the shoresh of his eyes, which are in his head, which is the place of the truth, which is the place of his neshama, which is the place which testifies to the fact that he is the child of the Ribbono Shel Olam, then he doesn't tear, is what he called his hair out. He doesn't tear his hair out. And finally, right, finally the last thing here is the is what he called the Ksav Sofer and the Shemi Shmuel, right? Let's like also the connection between the Pshat and the Drash.
Do the two places on the person has two sets of eyes. One is where the tefillin goes, where right. And then with, the regular eyes.
Regular eyes. So if a person is looking at the world only with his flesh and blood eyes, so a person can become despondent, right? But if a person, as it were, is looking at the world, trying to make his eyes of flesh and blood see according to the beat of the drum of the source of his eyes inside his mind, the place where the neshama is, then he knows that nothing is lost. He remembers all the things that we learned until now. So that's why the terminology is used both the head and the eyes, right? One place it says, don't tear out the hair over your head, in your head. Other place, don't tear out the hair between your eyes. Now the idea being is if you've succumbed to looking at the world only through your flesh and blood eyes, you can be brought to tearing your hair out, right? But if you remember the eyes, there's shorish, right, what you call it, or in your in the truth of your mind, in the truth of the place of your stomach, the truth of your shorish, the roots from which you come, the source from which you come, which is the Borei Olam, then you won't tear you what you call your hair out, because you'll realize all the things that we've discussed until now. And finally, the last thing what you call, we're just going to synopsize what you call some of the discussion, the idea here in the Shem Shmuel, so Asemetz, what you call the Ksav Sofer, is really the idea that we said, what's the connection between the drash, not creating factionalization, right? In other words, one two bati dinim in the same town, one pasuk like Beishalal, one pasuk like Beishama, right? Afterwards, right? And we record to the pshat in the pasuk, which is not tearing your hair out because of the death of a person. The connection is really basically what we just said before, is that if a person is looking at the world through exclusively flesh and blood eyes. Right, so then his ego leads him to want to realize only what he wants. He doesn't see himself as being bound up with others, with other Jews, with all his brothers and sisters. Bani matem l'Hashem l'kicha. We're all bani, right? And the fact is, the Shechina rests upon us when we are all functioning as brothers to one another. When there's sinna between us, with this period between us, we're not even talking about sin, we're talking about period, just what you call factionalization. That itself is what you call, it causes the bond that we have with the Shekhinah is resting upon us to what you call, to be able to disappear. So if a person is looking exclusively with flesh and blood eyes, then he comes to what he give expression to what I say is right, right? And he comes to what you call, he comes to Machlokas, and he comes to creating period in Klal Yisrael. But a person is looking at the world through what he calls to the eyes, whose shorish is found inside his mind, and the truth from whence he came, right? What he called from the place of the neshama, which came from the Borei Olam. So what he called, so then, yeah, then what he called, then that person is what he called is he what he called he doesn't create that a form of machlokes, doesn't create that form of machlokes. So the ideas what he called are related, and there's more here, but. Learn it on our own.
Say that last week once more.
The idea being that we were discussing initially, is there a relationship between the drash and between what we call the pshat? The pshat, right, is talking about what we call misa. The drash is talking about what we call about not having factionalization. But the factionalization comes from what we call when a person doesn't go back to the shorish and realize that we're all a one soul unit,
mm-hmm,
right, that emanates from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And therefore, his ego, as it were, his sense of self, allows him to strike out on paths that bring him into conflict, what would he call it, with others.
Mm-hmm.
The more that he, as it were, is what he called, is what he called, realizes that in the shorish we're all bound up with one another because we're all bunim, right? Called Hashem Elokeichem. We're all attached to one another. And when there's connection between us, then the Shechina rests upon us, and if there's period between the neshamas, then the Shechina goes into Golos. So the more that person is focused with his mind's eye, as opposed to his flesh and blood eyes, right, which defines his world based upon, you know, his success, his what do you call it, his aspiration, his desires, his what do you call it, his fame, etc., in terms of what he sees on the outside. So that leads to what he called to factionalization as well. So what he called to the idea of the drash and the pshat. Again, there's more here in the specifics in this last Fasemis and the Ksav Sofer and the Shemishmol, but I think it's sufficient. Okay.